Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have back with us Bob Chitrathorn, who's the co-founder of Simplified Wealth Management. Bob, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me again.
You are welcome. And I want to continue building on what we talked about before, because it's just so neat to hear kind of like your origin story, your, you know, where you are today versus where you started off. So kind of give us a little bit of a fresh insight on how your upbringing helped frame your formative years into what you grew from today.
Well, yeah, Mike, you know, as we spoke last time, you know, we talked more of the younger years and the adversity and obstacles that, you know, not just myself, but individuals face. And so now, you know, talking a little bit fast forward to, say, you know, high school and college, you know, back in high school, I guess, you know, I was a little bit different in the sense that, you know, some of the people I hung out with, you know, you might consider hoodlums, right? They're not by any means. They're some of my best friends still to this day, and we do great. But, you know, when you're in high school, if you had to classify different cliques or cliche, you'd be like, hey, you know, there's kind of the sports guys, there's some kind of the nerds, there's the skaters and the bad boys and, you know, whatnot and what have you. And I guess, you know, the clique I originally ran with at first, people might look sideways at, right? And yeah. I understood this and I noticed that. But internally, it made me feel like that doesn't seem fair. Like, you don't even know me. You don't know who Bob is, right? I mean, I'm still trying to figure out who Bob is when I'm in high school, yeah. Right? So how are you able to say, hey, I'm going to throw you in this cliche? So I had to make an internal shift. And, you know, that kind of led to my, literally my entrepreneurial journey, because it taught me a lot.
You know, it's interesting that you said internal shift and you said note that you noticed. I feel like a lot of people, no matter what clique, you know, whether it's the bad boys or the jocks or the whatever, because we all are in something. We all kind of birds of a feather flock together. We all are in that. But I found it interesting that you noticed it and you had kind of like an internal dissonance. You're just like, I don't know that I like this, or I think I might want to shift out of that. So when you decided, you know what, maybe I want to be seen as or identify with a different group, what were some of the steps that you took? Because number one, some of your some people that are in that situation never even noticed that. They just keep their head down and go, I am what I am. But you noticed you wanted a little bit of a change. Not that one is worse than the other or better than the other, but you wanted a little bit of a change. What was that for you?
Yeah, for me, like the internal shift, it was, Mike, it was like, why do I have to be one or the other, right? Because I looked at myself, you know, I studied hard, I got great grades. So literally, if I had dressed a certain way or acted a certain way, I would have been labeled, you know, in the nerd group, right? Yeah. I also played sports, you know, I played football, I played volleyball, you know, I was on the varsity team for those things, I played tennis. So then I could also be classified as a jock, if you only looked at me in one certain way. Or, you know, I like skateboarding, snowboarding, you know, I had a mohawk, spiky hair, you know, earrings, chain wallets, you know, then you can classify me as a skater if you wanted to, or a punk rocker, right? And I was thinking to myself, like, this doesn't make any sense. That's just going to limit the people I meet myself, right? So I decided that, hey, I know that I'm not just one of these. I am all of them. And I'm going to figure out what I am all about as much as I can, as you could in high school. And so I made an effort. I purposely made an effort. I was already hanging out with all my friends who were pretty much in the skater crowd, right? I didn't have to do much effort there because that was appearance. And again, we all know appearance is kind of the first thing that kind of clicks people together, especially in high school. Okay. So I had to go out and say, hey, you know what? How am I going to make friends with these smart people that would be classified as nerds? So I just decided to start talking to them and start asking them questions about what we were studying. Yeah. And then they realized that I knew what I was talking about. So I naturally just became part of that group somehow. And then I, you know, again, tried out for sports and became friends with them. So I was in all these different cliques, if you will. And it's really awkward at first, because I felt myself acting the clique while I was with the click. You know what I mean? And I was like, this is weird. I mean, it's part of me, but it's not fooling me. So I decided, you know, I had all these different friends and different cliques, and they were all really cool, great people. So I decided to just kind of start kind of weird. I started throwing parties. I was actually pretty known for throwing a lot of parties in high school, actually, even from other schools. But I would just start inviting all my friends from the different cliques. And it was cool that over time, we all started realizing that we all were similar people once we got to know each other. And so that friendship, it was kind of cool because you started seeing like some jocks, if you will. And again, every term I use is just a cliche, it's a judgmental from back in the day, right? But you started seeing jocks and nerds and geeks and skaters hanging out or showing up to the same party together. Because we were
the lines were starting to blur because of Bob.
I guess. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I loved it because I was like, hey, now I can be myself. You know, when I go on a varsity football trip, right, I can take my, you know, my jerseys and all of that good stuff that you have to take, but then I can dress the way I want to, which was kind of skaterish, right? And no one would care. I wouldn't feel judged anymore because everything was kind of like, okay, none of that matters as much. And, you know, and it wasn't just the kids and my colleagues, but I mean, I saw that with teachers too. I mean, imagine someone in high school with a mohawk, you know, piercings and chain wall. You're just naturally going to look at that person. If you don't know anything different, not to mention I went to a private school.
And you'll make assumptions.
You're going to make assumptions, right? And I get that. And so having so many assumptions made of me growing up was probably one of the best things that could have ever happened to me. Because it broke my assumptions that I would normally make on other people. It made me take a deeper look, right? And, you know, when these teachers started realizing, hey, you know, Bob's getting 4.0s, you know, we can't really judge him too much on his clothes.
Yeah.
Because we want what
works for him.
Education system. Yeah, the whole education system is for people to learn, get good grades so they can pursue better things in life and make the world a better place. So I think at that point, you know, teachers were just like, well, I guess we're forced to accept Bob for the way he is because he's in 4.0s, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool because once they were, quote unquote, forced to, which is a bad word, but, you know, they weren't forced to, but like, what else could they do, right? I'm doing my
4.0s. It came to their realization.
So, yes. And once they were able to realize that, I think it just, I hope it helped them relax for any other future, you know, type of stereotypes coming through the doors years to come, right? Because it happens all the time.
Yes. That's a huge, it's such a huge point. It reminds me of the old cliche story that we hear about the old blind guys that are touching an elephant and this is a wall because that guy was touching the side of the elephant. And the other guy's like, no, it's a big hose because they're touching the trunk. And no, it's a, and everyone was right. But in reality, if you step back and look at it, it's like, oh no, they're all, you know, wrong because they are, you know, touching an elephant. So that's exactly what you described. I think it's a really neat thing to realize that ripple effect that when you started making some of those decisions and steps forward, it started impacting others in a positive way. That's the ultimate positive mental attitude, taking a step forward, being the change you wanted to see made. And then you saw people rallying around that. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I love the elephant analogy there, Mike, because, you know, it's when you're up close, you have tunnel vision, right? And we can only see so much. So we can only perceive so much if we can only see so much. But as you step back, right, and you start looking, I mean, obviously, if you can see, right, you're like, hey, I see a full elephant. Or you step back, hey, we're not just at an elephant place, we're at a zoo, because now you see lions and tigers, right? So it's being able to take a step back and look at the big picture and understanding and realizing that if you are looking so focused and so narrow, you're going to have tunnel vision. That plain and simple, right? I mean, physically, I mean, you walk through the window and all of a sudden, all you see is a window. And if you don't move for 10 hours, you're going to think you're just right in front of a window forgetting you're inside a room, right? That has a door, right? You got to take that step back. You got to see the big picture so that you can get more perspective And somehow I learned that really young and early on in life. I have no idea how it may have been how I grew up from, you know, elementary school or part of college, but I got lucky. And it is a ripple effect, because in my journey as an entrepreneur, if you will, I think those lessons that I learned also come into my entrepreneurial life, because it's, again, Bob, sometimes take a step back. What are you trying to get accomplished? What is the main thing you want to do? Someone can say, hey, Bob, you want to help people be better at finances. You want to make sure people don't argue about money. And, you know, things like that. But the big picture is, and I know it sounds generic, cliche, whatever it is, but the big picture to me, Mike, is I believe in that ripple effect. I believe that we all inherently are humans and are the same, right? As long as we share the same values and kind of want the same things, you know, many other things don't matter. Appearances don't matter. You know, what you drive doesn't matter. Things of that nature just don't matter anymore when you take that big picture, big perspective. And what I really want to do, and I've wanted this for a long time, and you can ask my friends in high school, and they'll say the same thing. What's the one thing Bob always talked about? And it was changing the world. I've always wanted to change the world. I've always wanted to make it better.
By paying it forward and being the change that you want to see done.
Yes. I mean, I. And, you know, one of the things I love doing, and I couldn't do this when I was younger. I did in smaller, what's the word I'm looking for? In, you know, a smaller scale, obviously in high school and college. But, you know, one of the things I love doing now is I love sometimes walking through the mall. Let me rephrase that. I hate going to the mall. I hate walking through the mall. When I find myself, in the mall, what I do try to do is take that bigger picture, that perspective. Okay. I hate the mall. I hate walking through the mall. What can I do to make this fun? And what can I do to change someone's life? I take that perspective in, and then I start looking, you know, I'll walk through Macy's or whatever, you know, whatever store it is. And I always purposely look. And then if I see someone who I notice is buying clothes that is not for themselves, right? You know, it could be a parent, it could be an aunt, it could be an uncle, whatever it is. I always like to go up to them. I like to cut in line, right? And I may have mentioned this to you before, but I like to cut in line, pay for whatever they have. Granted, I have to make sure I really look at what they're buying, because I don't want to, you know, hoping they're not spending like $1,000, right?
Yeah, so, you don't want to see Gucci tags.
Exactly. But just, you know, just modest things. And so I'll cut in line, I'll pay for it. And then as I leave, one of the things I always say is, my name is Bob. Let's make our community stronger, make the world a better place. And it can all start with one action. Wow. That's kind of my go-to quote every time I do that. Because I strongly believe it, because I've been doing that for years, right? Not just, you know, 1 year, 2 years. We're talking high school and college, just on a different scale, right?
Yeah, and you might have bought someone a Big Mac.
Yep. A Big Mac, you know, a bean burrito from, you know, Baker's that cost a dollar, whatever it is.
Yep.
But I've always noticed two things when I've done that is, no matter if they're in a good mood or a bad mood, they always seem appreciative, and there's a smile that comes from that. And that taught me that one action can change it. You know, they could have been having a bad day. They could go be all mad all day long and probably affect other people, make other people mad. Or maybe I just changed them. One thing, one action made them happy, and now they're going to be nice for the rest of the day and do some great thing later on that day that has a ripple effect that changes the whole world for the better. And, you know,
After you walked away from doing that, did you have a pit in your stomach? Did you trip? Did you have a horrible day? Did you have a frown? Was there a cloud over your head? Of course not. So the ripple effect goes both ways. You help change that person's day. You put a spring in your step because you see that and feel that. So I think that's a huge aha and a great tactical thing that people can implement in their own lives.
Yeah. And you know what? Another thing I learned by doing things like that, right? Because I remember I mentioned there was two things. One was, you know, they'll be happy. But then number two is it makes me happy. And I realized that sounds extremely selfish. Did I do it because I'm selfish? Did I do it because I wanted to make me happy? Well, the true answer is no, but it's one of those things that if you really think and try to learn about yourself, you have to question yourself, right? So I spend a lot of time questioning, like, okay, I want to do this. I want to see them smile. I want to help them. But the fact that it makes me feel so good as well, like, is there some sort of inner unconscious thing of why I'm doing it? And my answer today is, I think we are all naturally selfish. I think that's just a part of nature. And so I've decided that, hey, if I believe that we are all naturally selfish, what can I do selfishly that makes the world a better place and other people happy? And so I'm still working on that. You know, I'm 44 years old now. Don't know if I'll ever have the answer to this. But again, it's, you know, if I'm going to do something that makes me happy, how much better is it that it also makes someone else happy?
100%. You know, you mentioned something that made me think of another analogy we hear in business. B2B, B2C, you know, business to business, business to consumer. And I feel like it should be H to H, which is human to human, because we're treating people as humans. It doesn't matter are the consumer or business or all of these things. But what you just laid out there is, man, if I can brighten someone's day, help them with something, maybe monetarily, or maybe it's let me help you, you know, carry this thing or open the door for somebody. It could be just something that you're noticing. And you know what that entails? It entails someone like us, you, to get your nose out of your phone, to notice things and be aware of opportunities that are always around us.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I love the fact that you mentioned H to H, human to human. Okay. One of the sayings that I know you have heard before, and I'm sure anybody listening to this has heard many of times, right? I don't know if anyone's really thought about it, but it burns my inner core. It just really burns me. And that saying is, it's only business. It's business. Yeah. What does that mean? To me, I was like, when you can say that, most people usually say, oh, it's only business. Usually it's in a situation where something didn't happen that helped both sides.
Yeah.
Right? It was almost a zero-sum game. Someone won, someone lost, and that's why they said it's only business, right? To me, I think the best type of business is, like you mentioned, H2H. It's always business. It's always personal. It's always you. Because why should my personal ethics be one way, and then all of a sudden in the business world, oh, it's only business. Don't worry. In my personal life, I wouldn't have done that to you. But since it's a business world, it's only business. That does not make sense to me at all. So, yeah. I mean, I definitely do not like that saying it's only business, because business is personal. Personal is business. You are who you are. You shouldn't change who you are in the sense of, hey, your ethics or your values change because now you're at work as opposed to at home. Right. And like, if you're going to be true to yourself, it really should carry forward more so into the business world, because I think most people would agree and say that, hey, if you had to say that you had two types of ethics, you had personal ethics and business ethics. Most people, not that I agree with this, but I think most people would say, hey, you know, my personal ethics and values are, you know, better than my business ethics and values, because a lot of times when it comes to business, people are thinking about one thing and one thing only, and that's improving business, improving money. I think that needs to change. I think your personal values and your personal ethics should be the same as your business values and your business ethics. And you should not be trying to improve income and money in business when you're in your business. You should be trying to improve human values. You should be trying to improve those around you, so that this way we can truly make the world a better place. We just have to care a little bit.
100%. You know, Bob, hearing kind of your story and what you noticed and how you, transferred some of your attentions to different groups and things. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about key attributes that you feel that people need to notice and manage so that they can make some of these changes in their life currently, personally, as well as professionally.
Yeah, I mean, key attributes. We all have great attributes. We just got to find them, right? Some people have a harder time finding what, you know, one of the key attributes is. And it's, again, going back to the ripple effect, you find one key attribute, you're going to find another, and you're going to find another. So, you know, I had to give advice to people, hey, you know, some of the key things to pay attention to try to, you know, improve yourself personally and, you know, professionally is, who are you? Literally, who are you? I mean, it's a hard thing to answer, but try to. And I don't know if you'll ever be able to answer it, because when I ask myself that all the time, so sometimes the same things come up, sometimes new things come up that I haven't, you know, wrote down before. So I always say, hey, you know what, if you really want to start paying attention and, you know, trying to find these attributes that could improve yourself professionally, personally, and improve the world, again, I'm still learning myself. So, you know, take everything with a grain of salt. But I always say, who am I? And think about that. What do I want to do? And what do I want to change? Those are the three things I always think about. And then I try to make sure that they all somehow overlap, right? Because if you want to do one thing and how you're going to do it and who you are, they all should be intertwined somehow, right? Because again, that goes back to, I don't want to be that person who says ever, oh, I'm sorry, it's just business. That whole saying disgusts me.
Yeah. Well, what you just described there is the classic gap, G-A-P, gap. You want to see where you're at. You want to determine where you want to be. And then what's the gap and how am I going to get from point A to point B? And I think all of that requires us to be aware, take notice, have that desire, like Napoleon Hill teaches, have that burning desire to make that change, to be better in whatever area, personal or professional. So if you see where you are, you notice where you want to be, and then you see, okay, now I've got this drive to make this change. It's not overnight, because wherever you are, it didn't get there overnight. And wherever you want to be, it's not going to be overnight to get there. So I think it's really important for people to realize what you just said there. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I'll add to that. And, you know, this gets a little personal. I mentioned it, you know, last time a little bit, but you also have to really understand or try to find flaws, or if someone points out a flaw, you know, don't get defensive and just kind of write it down and think about it. And one of my flaws that I've had for years, didn't realize this till probably 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Or actually, let me take that back. I probably realized it about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, didn't do anything about it till a year and a half ago. Okay. And one of those flaws can also be conceived as, you know, a key attribute. And that's the fact that I have a type A personality, always on the go, and I have high amounts of anxiety. I like to get things done. When things are on my calendar, I do not want to procrastinate. I want to get them done. I want to get them all done. On the flip side, something that could be a good attribute of yourself could also be something that's holding you back. It could be something that's slowing you down more than you know. And what I'm talking about here is that anxiety that I had to get things done, I also had the anxiety of, oh my goodness, Mike, I got 45 things on my calendar. I know I can only get 22 things done. What am I going to do? Oh my goodness, I got 3 extra phone calls I came in that I didn't expect. Oh man, what am I going to do? Okay, I'm looking at the screen. This is stressing me out. Bob, just pick something and just do it. You know, that anxiety, right? It was just really high anxiety, and it ended up wasting a lot of my time. And then I would worry about worrying. You know, I was stressed about stress. We all know that is idiotic, but that's what I was doing. And I knew that was idiotic. But I didn't want to do anything about it. I was afraid to do something about it because I didn't know what to do about it, right? And it was, you know, a friend of mine said, hey, Bob, you might want to talk to somebody because you're really great at what you do. You're smart. You're intelligent. You get things done. But this is affecting your lifestyle, not just at work, but, you know, just at home, because you're stressing about work at home because of the next day of all the things you have to do. And so I started talking to somebody, and it was kind of weird. One of my friends said, hey, you know, because I told my friend about a year ago, and she said, hey, you know, that's something you might want to tell people because, you know, there's always been a stigma against, you know, mental health, right?
Yeah.
And we're hearing more and more about it nowadays. But I will tell you, I got prescribed fluoxetine, which is a generic version of Prozac. This is about a year and a half ago or so, right? And I told the doctor, oh my goodness, I do not want to take that. Bob, why not? Because I pride myself on being a go-getter. I pride myself on getting things done. I pride myself on not being lazy, right? Those are the things I pride myself on. And I feel like this medication is going to make me not care, and I'm going to be lazy and not even notice it. Doctor says, Bob, I understand how you feel. Let me tell you, that is not the case. and, you know, we'll get you on a small dose to start. What do you think about that? I said, well, you know, if it's going to help me, I mean, stressing about stress was just one of the hardest things to do. It was anybody who does it understands it. Your heart starts beating fast. Your mind goes 27 ways sideways. And, you know, the analogy the doctor gave me was, you know, it's not that you can't ever not take fluoxetine or Prozac, but it's kind of like your car. If your car has, you know, a condition where, you know, you need to consistently wash it so it's not dirty, what do? You keep washing it so it's not dirty, right?
Yeah, if you just have, a little maintenance.
If you have diabetes, you do things so that you can keep living, right? And so she said, anxiety is nothing different. You just have to understand that that's what you have. So you have to do things so that you can live the best way you can live. Or you don't have to take the medication, Bob. And you can still function the way you are, but realize you're going to have all that stress and that all the good stuff you're going to have still, but then you're going to have all that crazy stress and anxiety you're talking to me about, Bob, that just drives you nuts and you don't understand why you do it. You don't get it. You know it's wrong, but yet you do it anyway and you worry about it. I said,
What was the result?
The result was I got on fluoxetine. I've been taking it. And honestly, the craziest thing is I'll see my list have 50 things on it. I'm more focused now.
You're like, okay, let's knock out one at a time. Yeah.
Yep. Knock it out. Done.
And it's the same list that you had before. It's just now your perspective has changed and you can handle the list. You go on step at a time. Whereas before you just needed that little bit of a smoothing out.
Exactly. It's like trying to get stuff done when you can't breathe. Right. But if you take a step back and you breathe, and you can focus. And that's what it is. And, you know, am I embarrassed talking about it? I am. But the one reason I do want to talk about it is because of the fact that one of my friends told me, she said, hey, you know what? These are the things that people need to hear more about, you know, the good and the bad, right? And how this has helped, you know, like my attribute that was really good also had a downfall, which was that anxiety. But, you know, people just need to get their mental health straight. And again, it's embarrassing to talk about, but since I've been on fluoxetine, my life has completely changed in the sense that, you know, I don't have this, what my wife used to call the heart attack feeling every day. Like I would just got to have a heart attack because at the end of the day, they're just too much. I don't have that anymore. I work. And if I want to work till 5:30, I work till 5:30, 6:30, 6:30. When I'm done, I just move everything and that's it. I deal with it tomorrow. And then I'll get to the point where I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm tired of seeing the same thing. Now I need to move things 2 weeks ahead. You know, a week ahead, just so that I can keep it at the 30 task day list, whatever it is, you know, then it's fine. It makes a big difference. And out of everything that I talk about, that's probably one of the biggest messages I want to get out there is, hey, if there's something that's not working, there are things that we can do to fix it.
Awesome. So now let's wrap up here, Bob, and shift into all of these lessons you've learned and all of these wonderful attributes that we've talked about. How is that impacting your work with your clients currently in your business professionally?
Let me just start out by saying I love what I do. I love it so much that like it's not work to me, right? Again, where people say it's just business to me, my business is my life. My life is my business. It's all intertwined. It's all part of the vacations. It's all part of the hard work. It's all part about helping my clients, you know, really, really caring about my clients and going that extra mile because they are my friends, my family, and I want them to be successful. I want them to learn things that they don't know that can make a huge difference in their lives because, again, it all goes back to that ripple effect. And so many people I talk to that aren't even clients of mine, I will help them get a durable power of attorney for free because I believe everybody needs one. Do I have any compensation on that? No. Does it take a little of my time? Yes. But at the end of the day, it's what they need. It's what's good for them, if nothing else. And it does make the world a better place. So I believe in those things. And so because of the things I've learned and that I apply those beliefs into my practice and my business, I feel, yes, I spend a lot more time than most people on things that don't compensate. But I feel like that all comes back because people see that I'm literally, you know, this is who I am. There's not, you know, it's not a fake, hey, let me do this so I can eventually do this for you. Hey, take this for free. If you need more help, come to me. I love helping people. Yeah. And so I think all my attributes and life lessons have kind of led to, you know, me being transparent and upfront in financial planning and helping my clients and going the extra mile and, you know, literally doing things that most advisors won't do because it takes more time. And it does take more time. I work 50 to 60 hours a week, but I don't complain about it because I love it.
It's more of the paying it forward, giving value, serving, being that servant leader, giving results in advance. And then, oh yeah, I can help you with your, you know, retirement or your financial questions. So I think that that is such a flipping the script on that people are not used to, because normally they're used to people pressuring them into doing something, and you're teaching, educating, coming alongside them, being their friend and treating them like a human.
Exactly. Exactly. And my practice, my business, and my hobby, helping people, they're all intertwined into one. That's why I don't mind spending so many hours doing it, because I can't say, hey, the 60 hours I spent working, right? Anyone would classify as work. Was it really 50 hours of work and 10 hours just helping people because I like it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't keep track that detailed, but again, to me, it's all kind of blends together. And that's why I feel like I have a deeper passion than most, and why that is, I don't know, but that's just how I feel.
Well, Bob, it's just been such a pleasure talking with you here again and learning more of your methodologies and way that you approach business and your personal relationships. So thank you so much. What's the best way people can reach out and connect with you?
Well, yeah, the best way, you can always find me. I mean, you can search Bob Chitrathorne, you'll find my Facebook or my LinkedIn, but the easiest way is my website, planwithbob.com. Again, that's plan. PLAN with WITH Bob BOB.com. And all my information's there. And again, you know, if someone just has a financial question and, you know, not looking for financial advisors, that's okay. Reach out to me. Anything that has to deal with a dollar sign, I probably have some sort of resource or value I can share with you. I have applications I'd like to share for free that I've already paid for that have financial modules. It'll give you a grade report on how you compare to your peers based on your age range and what you're doing and things of that nature. I got lots of free resources, so don't hesitate. Reach out to me.
Bob, well, thank you so much for coming back on. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.